Hello and welcome to the Browns Blitz. Today is Tuesday, March 31st, and this is episode number 45. I'm your host, Rod Bloom, and joining me today is Nick Walters. Nick, how are things going for you?
Going pretty well, Rod. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Nick asked to come on the podcast as a Browns fan from Twitter to talk some Browns, so that's what we're going to do tonight. And we'll kind of get into your a little bit about you and your journey as a Browns fan, Nick. But before we do anything, we like to kind of start it off with Blitz beverages and what we're drinking, or maybe something you've had recently, if you want to share. It's up to you. I know it's a weeknight, but I have to say that with all that's going on in the world, I'm not getting out to buy a lot of new beverages. So I'm kind of working my way through some of what's in my refrigerator. And when I say that, I mean, you know, a beer here and there. I think, as I've said before on the show, I like to have a variety of beer available to me. That doesn't mean I'm a heavy drinker. So people might think that by looking at my refrigerator, but anyways, I'm drinking a Platform New Cleveland tonight.
Okay.
And Platform is just good beer. So, I think I've had two or three of these, and I think it's a good beer, but I just don't think you can go wrong with a Platform beer. That's kind of my thought. So, Nick, I know you said you're not drinking anything of the alcoholic nature tonight. Is there anything you want to share, or do you have anything in front of you there tonight?
Nothing in front of me, but one of my top choice beers that I love to go to is the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. I don't know, it's just like a crisp flavor. I love drinking that. And then the one that I'm still trying to get a hold of is that Joe Thomas, that Kolsch 73. Really wanted to try that. So,
yeah, I like the Oktoberfest. I really do. I think it's definitely a great flavor. And Sam Adams always does a very nice beer. Sorry. I have not had the Joe Thomas. I have not had that yet. And, you know, maybe that's not actually being in Cleveland. I don't know how far out of Cleveland you can get that. So,
yeah, I'm not sure either. So,
if you get a hold of some, let me know.
Most definitely.
Anyways, that's kind of an abbreviated Blitz Beverages segment for tonight. So, Nick, let's get a little bit of your background, your story. Why don't you kind of tell everybody about, you know, what you do and where you're living now? I guess you're from the Cleveland area originally, but why don't you just kind of fill everybody in on that real briefly here?
Okay, perfect. I'm from, I was born in Akron, Ohio, northeastern Ohio guy myself. I ended up joining the Army. I'm actually an Army recruiter located in Richmond, Indiana. I got a wife and two kids. I've been in the Army for going on 9 years now. So it's definitely a blessing having, you know, a little bit of stability, especially with the current situation that's going on. But my Browns, my Browns fandom, you could say, started in 2002 in the playoff game. My family is really big Steeler fans, and I wanted to kind of be like the black sheep of the family, and just watching them play the Steelers just kind of like threw me in a whirlwind of just love for the team, and it's been head over heels since then. A lot more tragedy than happiness, you've noticed. So, but yeah. Real young, started out and just kind of found it on my own way. And here I am today, still being a diehard. So,
yeah. So you were probably what, a teenager at that point, maybe somewhere around there, maybe a little younger, about nine. So, yeah. Yeah. I think, my brother and I have talked about the fact that, we lived in Columbus. When we started learning about football, and we had neighbors that were Steelers fans, and we kind of started off as Steelers fans before we moved back to Cleveland. And really, fell in love with the Browns at that point. So you're not alone. It's okay to, it's okay to start, someplace you're not supposed to be, but find your direction.
Right. Might be a lot of bumps in the road, but it's a good direction.
Yeah, I mean, but since 2002, I mean, there's been a whole lot more downs than ups,
right,
since then. But I mean, there's still something special about having your team, though.
Yeah.
You can hang your head all the time and be upset that your team stinks, but just having your team and being a loyal fan, I guess it's all in your perspective.
Oh yeah, 100% agree. No matter how bad it is, I'm always holding my head up high, and I'm always trying to find the positives in everything that we do. So hopefully this new regime kind of kicks it off and gets this thing on the right track. So.
Yeah, so what you brought up the new regime. So what are your thoughts? I mean, feelings and, I think you're hopeful. I mean, I think most of us are hopeful anytime there's one of these changes, even though we kind of all kind of think to ourselves, here we go again. We've been down this road 100 times. But I think the true fans are thinking, hopefully this one's going to work out because we want to see this team do well.
Right. Yeah. Let's start at the top with, Andrew Berry signing as a GM, prior, Cleveland front office guy, went off to where to go? Philadelphia, I want to say. I think that's where he went off to.
Yeah. Well, he came back from Philadelphia. Yeah.
Yeah. And, getting that experience with, Howie Roseman, and being able to, see how, a good football organization actually runs, it kind of helps us do. And then his solid signings that he's had in this free agency, I think that's definitely kind of put a lot of confidence in us as fans. So.
And yeah, I think he's kind of surprised some people, but very, very impressed so far. So go ahead.
I was going to roll into, Kevin Stefanski being hired on as the head coach. Young, but he's got that old like mentality style coaching where he runs the ball first. You kind of seen that when he was up in Minnesota last year when he finally took full reins as the offensive coordinator, putting the run first, and Kirk Cousins had a career year. So I think that's definitely going to help us with our two backs that we got, and then our star wide receivers and good bit of tight ends that we have. So I think our offense is going to click really well. So under Stefanski's leadership, so.
Yeah, and I mean the offensive line still there's still at least one move coming that we know of, but there's been a lot going on there, with signings, and then Chris Hubbard reworked his deal, and then they signed Evan Brown probably to be a backup center. Yeah. There's a lot of bodies on the roster right now for the offensive line.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I think we have a good idea who most of the starters are going to be, but it's going to be interesting to see who makes this team on the offensive line, how many guys they carry and who those guys are. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back a little bit. And I'm probably, jumping around here a little bit too much, but between 2002 and now, I mean, who have been some of your favorite players on the Browns? Guys who you've really liked. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I keep interrupting you.
That's all right. It's supposed to happen on this. It's normal. Don't worry about it.
Okay. my all-time favorite Cleveland Brown is Josh Gribbs. The way that he ran the ball, especially on kickoffs, it was magic. It was, I don't know, it's like sprinkling fairy dust as soon as the ball was kicked off, and you never know what's going to happen. To this day, he is my all-time favorite player in the NFL, like in general. Other than that, I loved having Jamal Lewis, even though he came from, the Ratbirds. I did love having bringing him over because he was a pretty solid run there. And then, even though Josh Gordon couldn't stay off of illegal substances, I think with him, he was a very solid receiver when he was in the game. So those are my kind of my top guys. But overall, I'd have to say Josh Cribbs, just because of his lightning abilities, you know, evasiveness, and the ability to really get us back into games that we've, you know, the close ones that we did have that we actually, you know, won. So.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you're talking about him as a return man. I mean, he was, you know, obviously it didn't have quite the same impact, but he was so good as a gunner too. You know, making he made so many tackles on special teams, you know, on the other end. That's not what people are going to remember him for because because of his returns. But man, he was really good at that end of it too.
Mm-hmm. That, and it helped when he was in the Wildcat because he played a quarterback at Kent State, so it kind of helped.
Definitely a lot of people that are with you with Josh Cribbs is one of their favorite players. So yeah. Excellent choice.
A lot of people think it would be Joe Thomas, which I love Joe Thomas to death. I got actually a autographed college jersey of Joe Thomas, and I love him to death, but you know, my favorite guy has just got to be Josh Cribbs. So.
Well, nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know what? It's good that we have multiple guys, you know, that you can think about as quote unquote bad as this team's been since 2002. There have been some good guys here, and some likable guys, and some guys that, you know, that you can say were your favorite players. So
yeah.
So you know, that's the fun of it, and that's the fan, you know, coming out in you and everybody else. So let's flash back to the current team and talk about, you know, you talked about Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. Let's talk about maybe, I haven't done this yet on the podcast with anybody. You have an idea of the offense that they were running in Minnesota. I don't think we've talked about this at all on the podcast. Give me some numbers, what you expect for the key guys, for Baker, for the tight ends, for the running backs, for the wide receivers. What numbers you expect them to put up, and you know, not necessarily gaudy numbers, but you know, numbers you think could be realistic in this offense. If this offense, you know, just over the 16 games. You know, if things click, if things go the way they should, in a first season, you know, what kind of numbers do you expect these guys to put up?
Well, I mean, we could start at the top with Baker. You know, I think he's definitely going to cut down on his interceptions because of the style of offense that he runs. So I think you're looking at roughly, you know, between 9 and probably about 13 interceptions for Baker, just because he's not going to be asked to take those, you know, crazy shots all the time, or those tough throws every down, like he was under Kitchen's offense. And then with, you know, the style of offense that it goes through, you're gonna be looking at a lot of play action. So you're gonna see, you know, whether it be, you know, a tight end running across the middle, or, you know, somebody is down, you know, the seam, you know, just wide open. I'm kind of in the range between 25 and, you know, 33 touchdowns for Baker. And then looking at around, you know, 3,100 to 3,500 yards. Flashy, nothing crazy, but enough to, you know, hang out with football games and do really well with that. So
yeah.
Looking at the running backs, because Stefanski loves to run the football. It's his it's kind of like his go to is run first, and you know, run, you know, his offense off of play action. I can definitely see Chubb getting between the 1,200 and 1,400 yards again, like he did last year with his 1,400 yards, roughly 1,400 yards that he had last year. I can definitely.
I'd be honest with you, I don't remember the exact number. I know it was right around that 1,300 yard mark. I know it was right around that area.
Yeah, and but I could see him putting up the, you know, same amount of yardage that he did last year, and then adding in a couple more touchdowns. Just because, like, I was watching the clip earlier today, how we had 8 plays from the goal line and did not get anything. It was really sad.
That was rough. That was really rough.
I'm pretty sure with better play calling, he'll be able to get more opportunities like that to actually score. So I'm looking at like roughly 10 to 12 touchdowns for Chubb instead of, I think he had 8 this year, or 9. So, and then we can roll into the tight ends. Stefanski's offense runs the most double team or two tight end sets. So between Hooper and Njoku, I would just put them together in a total aspect. I think out of the tight end group, you're probably going to have roughly between 16 and 1800 yards and probably around probably about 11 touchdowns out of them. And that's plus or minus. So just because of the style that he runs. So, and then the playmaking ability, both of, you know, Hooper and Njoku, they both can catch the ball. They're both big bodies, so they can definitely, you know, create that space. And then start off with Jarvis Landry. I think he's our true number one. I like Odell, but I think Jarvis is the true number one just because I think he's got more sure hands. Some Browns fans will probably blast me for that, but
I agree with you.
But I think Jarvis is actually going to have a career year through Baker. He's going to have rough, I'm going to say between 1450 and 1550 receiving yards. And he's going to probably haul in about eight touchdowns for him. He's going to have a lot of big yardage games just because he's, you know, the slot. He runs more of like that slot, you know, those in those cut in routes and stuff like that. So I can definitely see him having a lot of big impact. And then rolling over through to Odell. I think he'll have another season like this one, roughly around, you know, over 1,000 yards. But I think he's going to have a couple more touchdowns than the 4 that he had this last year. So all in all, I think it's going to be, you know, a top 12 to top 14 offense in the league, just with the style it runs and then also being like a first year. So kind of understanding where that's going. But I definitely think we're going to be, you know, a little bit more feared than we were in the last few years with our offense. So.
Yeah, so let's go back to the backfield, and I want to get your thoughts on Kareem Hunt, assuming that he's going to be here, which I think is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
What do you expect out of him, numbers wise? How do you think he's going to be used, primarily?
I could see him more of a, like a third down back, just because he has that pass catching ability out of the backfield. Probably. I could see about 500-600 yards rushing out of him, just because he's not the feature back. But I can see about, like I said, 500-600 yards rushing. But I can see about 300-400 yards receiving, too, from him. And then also total touchdowns, probably about five or six. He's not going to be as heavily utilized, I think. But, you know, I'm just a fan. I'm not a coach. So, but, yeah, I think he's going to be – slightly underutilized, but I think he's still going to have a major impact with this offense. So,
yeah, I think that's such an interesting spot, you know, to figure out how they're going to use him, because you can use him so many different ways. I mean, they can be conservative with him and kind of think of him as Chubb's backup if something happens to Chubb. You know, and just kind of get him in there, like you said, kind of use him as a third down back so he's playing and staying fresh. Or they can, you know, I think Nick Chubb's always going to get his 20 carries at least.
Oh yeah,
in this offense, they're not going to split the carries between these two guys, you know, and go, you know, 12 to 15 carries each, you know, in the game, because then neither one of them's going to get going. So yeah. I don't see that happening. So they can do that, you know, and kind of save him. They can use him, you know, they can go two backs a lot you know, have Kareem Hunt, you know, more as a receiver, which he's excellent at. You know, and use Chubb more for running. I kind of can't wait to see how it happens. And you know, and then you add a true fullback with those guys, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, we haven't really had a fullback in a while. I forgot that we brought in a couple of them.
yeah. So that's going to be fun. Let me go back. How many yards did you say for the tight ends?
Total? Combined together? What was it? I can't even remember what I said. I think it was
1400?
I think it was around 1100. 1200 for them. I think that's what I said. Can't remember off the top of my head. So,
okay. That makes sense. That puts you around 4,000 yards for Baker.
Oh, well, my math's wrong.
That's all right. I wasn't trying to correct you. I was trying to get to a number. And I think, you know, I wouldn't predict 5,000 yards for Baker because I think this is a conservative. No. You know, I think he's not going to be firing the ball 50 yards down the field all the time. It's, you know, they're not going to, because they're going to run more. But I think, you know, I think Baker could go 3,500 to 4,000 yards pretty easily with all these guys, you know, especially if the touchdown to interception ratio is anywhere close to what you gave,
mm-hmm.
to where they're maintaining possession and he can go out there and, you know, keep going and mm-hmm. stay on the field.
Yeah, not have to, you know, force the ball anywhere, you know, roll out so much. So hopefully that line holds up with it too. So that's a big key thing too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of his passes are going to be play action, which has been talked about a lot as far as Stefanski liking it and Baker being good at it. So,
yeah.
And the Browns obviously having the running game to back it up too. So let's talk about the breaking news that Adrian Claiborne was just signed like within the past hour to a 2-year $6 million deal. That creates $7 million with incentives. 31-year-old defensive end coming from the Atlanta Falcons. He's a former first round draft pick. So this. Nice pickup, right?
Yeah, I think it's a solid, you know, depth signing just because of his ability. Like, he didn't have a productive season last year, but overall he can be disruptive up front. You know, that's why he was number one or a first round draft pick. And he made plays when he needed to. Just, you know, last year was just kind of one of his down years, and, you know, that happens. But very solid off the ball. Can definitely get around, you know, linemen and a disruptive play on the offense. So I think it's a pretty solid pickup. Definitely helps for veteran leadership in that locker room too, especially how young our team is. So
yeah, so you have to like this, the defensive line, you know, and the rotation kind of as it sits right now. I mean, I don't think the Browns are done.
No they're most definitely
they're not done, but I mean they've got some pretty decent guys on that defensive line. They've got, you know, they've got the guys they had last year, plus these couple guys that they've added, you know, mm-hmm. and Claiborne and Andrew Billings, you know,
I like the Billings signing. So
yeah, definitely. So we'll see what they do in the draft, but I'm just thinking about how excited I was last season going mm-hmm. into the regular season over this defensive line and what it could do. I mean, shouldn't we be just as excited this season? Don't you think right now?
I think right now, I mean, we could be, but we were, because of last year going into this year, we're just so skeptical on everything that's happening. We're just like, I think we're like anticipating like, okay, so hopefully Miles doesn't get suspended again. And just everything that just went on with last season and how it rolled around with the defense didn't play up to its expectations overall. I think we're taking like we're treading water to kind of like, you know, making sure we're not getting overly excited, because all of us Browns fans were probably talking the most smack, and I got hammered down by my buddies because of it. So.
Well, you're not the only one. Yeah. You know, I was a big supporter of Freddie Kitchens, and, you know, I paid the price. So, you know, he was very likable guy. It didn't work out. So, hey, what can mm-hmm. I say? I like this regime. I like Andrew Berry. You know, I like John Dorsey too, but, you know, I'm very impressed with Andrew Berry. I'm glad we have the guys in there that are in there now. And I want to see somebody stay for 3-5 years or more. See what happens.
I watch a lot of Baskin and Phelps on or not watching, but I listen to him on the radio.com app, and Phelps was sitting there and he was saying that, hey, we need to just, no matter what it is, give them 3 to 5 years, just like you said, to, you know, build around this team. If they're no good after 3 years, then yeah, you know, call it. But, you know, you got to let things build. You got to build that continuity. And that's something that Jimmy Haslam has not been a big fan of since he's bought this team, is continuity. He just wants that immediate turnaround instead of, you know, patience. So
that's what I've been preaching for about 4 years. Unfortunately, Hugh Jackson was not the guy to stick with for continuity.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, I hope that Freddie would be, but he wasn't either. So,
he just wasn't ready.
It just wasn't the right situation. So, but I think Stefanski and Barry, I think these guys could be if, you know, I like the fact that the expectations right now are down. I think they need to stay there. And I think we just kind of need to give these guys some space.
Yeah.
And let them work. And I think if they can just keep doing what they're doing, you know, I think we can see some good things. But man, if people start getting all excited or too excited about things, then it builds up the expectations. And then you get in a spot again where, you know, where 7-9 or 8-8 or 9-7 is not good enough. And then you're right back where you started, no matter how good a thing you have going.
Yeah,
I agree. And you never get anywhere if you keep bringing new guys in every year.
Yep. It's a mess up in the mind because you got to learn all new schemes, play systems, you know, trying to, you know, figure out, because I work, you know, as a recruiter, you know, you got to tepid yourself around like different like teachers when we talk to them, because some teachers are really like calm, cool, and collect, and the other ones are, you know, very strict, and they're, you know, very professional. So you got to carry yourself differently. And I think with, you know, if you have constant change like that, especially in, you know, football aspect, it can definitely, you know, hinder a demeanor a little bit. But
all you have to do is look at the successful teams. And I don't like talking about the successful teams because this is a Browns podcast. Okay, I'm not going to name any of them, but the successful teams that are there almost all the time are the teams that don't have constant turnover. You know, they don't have three coaches in 5 years. They get a coach, and you can't always stick with your coach because sometimes a coach isn't good. But you need to give coaches and systems and playbooks and everything. You need to give everything needs time to develop. So if you want to be like other teams, you have to act like other teams. So definitely you got to give these guys time to grow. And there's no reason to be anything other than optimistic about Andrew Berry at this point. I mean, we need to see the draft, but
yeah.
Let's face it, we're certainly not going to know this year if the draft went well.
Yeah, right.
That's a thing you can't tell for a few years, right?
Yeah, because you got to give players time to develop. Unless you have those players that, you know, every year they come out of the draft, you know, and they start shining right away. But for a lot of those impact players, it does take them about a, you know, year or two to kind of learn the speed of the game and get used to everything. So I agree. But with Andrew Berry, if he performs in the draft like he has through his free agency, I can see a lot of great things happening. So I'm pretty excited about that portion. So
yeah, I'm totally with you there. Now I didn't actually hear this. You mentioned to me earlier about a scenario that was floated about Trent Williams and a big trade with the Browns for the Browns to move up. Why don't you lay that out there so we can kind of toss that around a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I was I follow a lot of Browns pages and stuff like that on Facebook and on Twitter, and I seen something where it said Browns were in the discussion with the Redskins about trading for Trent Williams and the number 2 overall pick, where we trade our number 10, our third round this year, and a first rounder next year. I'm kind of skeptical on it. I don't think it's a real scenario, but you never know with these type of things, especially in the off season, as crazy as things can be. If it did happen, I think it'd be kind of a steal on our own end. because you'd be shoring up that left side of that line with Trent Williams, and then adding in, you know, possibly either whether you're going to take Chase Young, which I think it would be wrong to pass up on him, but if we did, it would be Isaiah Simmons. And both would be, you know, stellar talents for the defense, and it definitely would help out tremendously. So I can't confirm that's a real source, but it has been brought up a few times. So I just figured I'd bring it up to you.
Yeah. So you're giving up, pretty much giving up your left tackle, which is probably what they're going to take at 10 in order to get Trent Williams. And then you're giving up a third and a future first to get Chase Young, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think it is a steal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Trent Williams, I you know, there's some question marks there, and he's probably, I'm trying to think the dollars he might be. I'm trying to think what would his deal be compared to a rookie deal for the pick at 10. Now, of course, there's a new agreement, so those numbers are probably all new at this point anyway. So it's probably not what we're thinking. You know, so I don't know if we can even compare that because we haven't seen those numbers yet. But yeah, dollar wise, I don't know. But I mean, there's some questions about Trent Williams' durability and that. But I mean, he's 28 years old, I want to say.
28 or 29, I think, or is he 31? He's in that 28 to 31 range, somewhere around there. But yeah, I agree. Durability with him is a key factor. But when he is on the field and he is healthy, he's definitely a top left tackle. As far as money wise, though, he's looking for around like $20 million a year. So even with that 10th overall pick, you're going to be, you know, the 10th overall picks makes significantly a lot less money than what he's wanting.
Well,
so even if we.
His agent says that $20 million is not accurate. I don't think the Browns, I don't think the Browns or anybody makes a move for him to pay him $20 million.
Right.
I don't think it's happening. So, you know, I think he's in the, 13 to 15 million, something like that.
I could see him getting 14 and a half million per year. If we did decide to sign him or trade for him and then sign him to a long-term deal. So,
yeah. So then you got Trent Williams and if I have the number two pick, I'm taking Chase Young. I'm taking Young and Miles Garrett.
Yeah.
No offense to Simmons or anybody else, but Chase Young's he's the best player in the draft. If you end up at two, you're taking him. So again, like you said, I don't know if it's a real scenario or not, but it probably comes down to the dollars and how they see having Trent Williams tied up in a contract and having that number two pick in a contract versus having, you know, left tackle money down at number 10 in that contract. That's where the analytics guys kind of get into working out those deep numbers. But from a talent standpoint, I mean, give me Trent Williams and Chase Young now versus giving me a left tackle, a third rounder now, and a first rounder next season.
Yeah, because you're getting the experience with Trent Williams, so you don't have to worry about, you know, that transition from the college to the pro game with that new left tackle. So it kind of gives you that support and stability there. And, you know, it gives Baker a little bit of, you know, calmness when he's back there in the pocket. So.
Right. And the Browns have a lot of flexibility financially with all these one-year deals they're signing. So they would have the ability to take on Williams and Chase Young.
Easily.
Yeah, they could do
it. Because I think we're sitting at 42 million or 45 million left in the cap for this year. So we got a lot of flexibility, a lot of money still left over. So I think there's a big trade that's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be for, or a big deal. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, you know, the other name that's been out there has been Everson Griffin, and he hasn't moved yet, but now the Browns have Adrian Claiborne, and, you know, and so far, you know, and Vernon's still on the roster. So, and if this Chase, if this, if there's anything to this trade, there's certainly they wouldn't be looking at Everson Griffen anymore, I guess, huh?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't be even in the factors. I saw something today. He was looking to sign or he's in talks with the Seahawks right now. And likes what they have going on over there. And I think he's going to be significantly cheaper for Seattle. So I'd rather let him, you know, walk away just because we do have solid defensive line.
Yeah.
And if we did pick if we do end up somehow getting, you know, a top, you know, pass rusher in the league, I can definitely see, you know, stepping away from Everson Griffen, not taking away from his talents, but I can definitely see him, you know, not wearing a Browns uniform. So.
Right. Yeah. You can't have everybody.
Yeah. As much as we wish, especially as Browns fans.
That's right. That's right. I mean, with all these guys they're signing and it sure felt like they had a pretty talented roster, you know, coming off of last season. I'm kind of feeling, I really haven't gone through this thing recently, you know, to try to figure it out, but we've got a draft coming up with, I can't remember how many picks they have exactly. Do they have 7 picks? Because we have an extra 7 picks, right?
Yeah,
I think
we have 7, yeah.
Yeah, so you take 7 picks, and then you got some, you know, some undrafted free agents and all that stuff. And then you try to cut this thing down to, I was going to say 53. I think the new agreement takes it up to 55, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
54. Yeah, it bumps up to 55. I have a feeling there will be tough cuts. And there were tough cuts last season. Mm-hmm. And like we talked about on the podcast last season, it's good to have tough cuts. The Browns, for a long time, did not have tough cuts.
No, we didn't.
You pretty much knew who was going to make the team. And you pretty much knew that guys were going to make the team that probably shouldn't have made an NFL team, maybe. Guys mm-hmm. that they were just kind of taking a shot at. It's, you know, and again, I don't want to, I'm not trying to build expectations, but they're bringing talent in. So
yeah, they're bringing proven talent too. And that's the great part about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good, but they're going to be cutting some guys that were going to say, Oh crap. I hate to see that guy go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough thing.
Yeah. No, so I was going to say, sorry.
No, you're fine. No, go ahead.
One of the signings that I actually truly liked, is bringing in, Sendejo, the safety. I thought that was a very solid pickup just because of his, you know, playmaking ability. He's got great coverage skills. He's, you know, he's not a top safety in the league when it comes to coverage, but he's got that ability to, you know, lock down, you know, somebody if needed. And then he's not afraid to drop his shoulder and lay a hit on somebody. So I was actually like, when I seen that, I actually got really excited because when I watched him play in Minnesota, I was like, man, only if we had like a strong defender like that in Cleveland, because we haven't had a good safety since like him since Dante Whitner. So I think bringing him in actually it got me really excited. So that's one of the key signings on defense I got really happy about just because of his playmaking ability and his ability just to drop the shoulder and, you know, put a lick on someone.
Yeah, so let's talk safety. Sendejo and Carl Joseph. Because Joseph can put a lick on a guy too.
Oh yeah.
He can hit a guy too. So yeah. Tell me what is more likely out of these two guys. I'm gonna give you a few I think two or three scenarios here. What's more likely that we love their physical style of play, or that we get tired of the penalties?
Ooh. it depends on how our defense is playing when it comes to the penalty portion. I think for us, because we just hate watching penalties, because I think the refs screw us in a lot of games. That's a fan perspective.
it's true, but yeah, anyways.
but if these guys are making solid, clean hits, I'm about it. But yeah, I think we're going to love the hard hitting, but I think we're going to hate the penalties more just because it's going to hurt us in the long run. Cause we're trying to get them off the field and not keep them on there any longer. So I think, yeah, us as fans are going to really hate the penalties. So.
Okay. So that's one. The next one is, what's more likely that these guys are somewhat interchangeable as safeties, or that we see one guy emerge more as a free safety and one guy more as a strong safety?
I think more of the probably more of the rotational, because they're more strong safeties than they are free safeties. They're not like a Demarius Randle where he can cover, you know, sideline to sideline. They're more of the drop in the box and, you know, put a hit on you. So I can see them being more of a rotational, being strong safeties, and then them either bringing back Demarius Randle or getting a free safety somewhere between now and, you know, through the draft or somewhere around there. So.
Yeah, I kind of expect draft, but we'll kind of see. We'll see what happens there. I think, of course, they're waiting the market out on Demarius Randle. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him come back, but I don't think they're going to pay. I don't think they want to pay him $10 million, you know, a season to come back. Mm-hmm. I think that's the issue with Demarius Randle. I think everybody would love to see the guy come back, though, just because the kind of player he is.
Yeah, and he loves wearing orange and brown, and you can't beat that. But you know, everybody's got a price, so.
Yeah, the other, this is real hard to say, but what's your feeling? I think Sendejo has been a guy who has, I think, played almost all the time, right? I don't think he's had much of an issue with injuries. I think Joseph has, so I won't say which is more likely. But how do you feel about the health prospects of these two guys going into next season? Because, you know, the Browns had a rough go of it with safeties last season. I mean, Randle missed a few games, but the other guys, geez, they couldn't keep a strong safety out there.
Yeah. What is it? I think they're pretty durable because, what is it? Sendejo, he's not really out because of a, health injuries at all. He was more of a rotational guy, especially since, like, with him and before he moved out of Minnesota and played, I think we played with Buffalo last year, but he had Harrison Smith there, so it was a little hard to stay on the field, you know, with that type of talent there. And then Buffalo running with Jordan Poyer, they really liked him up there, so they kind of what do you call it? I don't see health being a factor for Sendejo. I think it's just the rotation. And then for Carl Joseph, he's got that, you know, his durability is not terrible, but it's not like, you know, up there, because he has been out for like concussions and stuff like that, because he does like to use his head. So.
Yeah, he needs to. Yeah, hopefully he can learn how to tackle other ways, right?
Yeah, he's kind of like a Denzel Ward when it comes to tackling. He just kind of throws his body out there. So,
yeah, I mean, you like the effort and you like mm-hmm. that they're kind of giving it all they have. But, man, you need these guys on the field.
Yeah.
So they need to protect themselves at the same time.
Yeah,
so you got to find a happy medium of knowing when it's time to make that hit and making it properly and when it's time to hold back and not take yourself out of the game for, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, especially with Denzel and Greedy both having injuries early last year, kind of hurt us a good bit, even though we had good fill-ins, but not as good as we needed with those guys in the back end. So,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, I'd like to really be nice to keep those guys healthier than we were last year.
Yeah.
So let's talk. I just wanted to bring up this new playoff format, mm-hmm. kind of just from a Browns perspective. You know, there's going to be what another wild card team in each conference. So there's going to be we're going to 14 playoff teams, I believe. So if you look at this and read the articles, it's not good because it says the Steelers would have been the team to make it almost every freaking year, and that's the last thing we want to hear. It's like the Steelers are going to go to the playoffs every single season for the, you know, for the rest of our lives. But but in theory, anyhow, it gives the Browns a little better chance to make the playoffs. Not necessarily this season, but in the future. Do you feel like this changes expectations at all this season, or how do you feel about that? And also the fact that there's only one team that gets a bye from now on. One team in each conference that gets a bye. What are your thoughts on this thing?
I definitely love the added competition. Definitely helps. But for us as Browns fans, we got to see our team win more than six games. That's the sad fact, because you can win six games every year, but you're not making it to playoffs with those records. Yeah. Even the 7-9, it wouldn't even have got us there. But overall, I think it's good for us. Kind of gives more of a fighting chance for us. Definitely helps us. And then the whole one team bye week, I actually enjoy that a lot better, because it makes that bye week even more important to get. So I think the NFL did a pretty good job with the playoff format. So.
Yeah, I mean, now that you mention that, I think, you know, it's not a bad thing. Only having one bye. I think people are going to get used to whatever the format is, and they're going to enjoy it. I mean, this is the NFL. People love the NFL. They could, you know, they could change. They could say, oh, we're only putting four teams in the playoffs. Or, oh, this is great. Or they could say, oh, we're putting 20 teams in the playoffs, and I think people would love it. It's the NFL. It's the main sport. People just love the NFL. So I don't think they could really do much wrong with it.
No, not even a little bit, especially in that aspect. But yeah, I love the new playoff format. I think 14 teams is a great size, just because it gives those teams that, like, when we went in 2007, we went 10-6 and we missed the playoffs by one game. That format that we have now would have definitely helped us then. So I think it's good. I like it thoroughly. So
yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it changes the expectations this season, you know, unless we get, you know, through 13 games and the Browns are close and all that. But you know, I don't think it should really change things. I think I do really like where the team is, and I like where most of the fans are right now. Most of the fans are kind of I don't know. It's just totally different from last season. I don't think most of the fans are skeptical, like they think the team's going to stink. They're most like, it comes across to me like most people want to give this team a chance to grow versus wanting this regime to prove itself.
Yeah, immediate success. I think they just want to see growth. I think overall.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just such a different it's such a different attitude from last season and from the seasons before that when the team was really bad. From what I'm seeing and feeling from the fans, I think I got to give the fans a lot of credit right now, but we'll see what happens after the draft and once the season starts, and if the Browns get a couple wins, hopefully people can keep their emotions in check.
Yeah, but, you know, it's that won't happen. We get a couple wins rallying off. We get 2-3 wins in a row. Oh, you already know Cleveland's going to be going crazy.
Well, yeah. Well, I will be. So,
yeah, I mean, I will be too. But
so. I'm going to enjoy it. I think this is going to be I think there's just so many things to look forward to this season, just with the new offense, kind of watching these guys. I think Baker's going to be, I just think he's going to be a lot more mature in this offense. And
yeah, I think he got slapped in the face from last season from how he took approach to everything. So
I think he's going to be a different guy this season. I think that's going to make a huge difference on this team.
Oh yeah.
Just it. So we got the draft coming up in a few weeks. We actually have a couple guests coming up the 2 weeks before the draft, so we're going to cover that then, and we'll see what happens. But I'm sure the Browns are going to be adding hopefully a couple of key guys there at least, and maybe some guys further down that they can build into future starters. So yeah. We'll see what happens, but Andrew Berry's certainly doing a nice job and filling some spaces on this roster.
Yeah, he's definitely made a good impact with the proven talent where it needs to be.
Yeah, well, Nick, this has been a lot of fun talking.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely.
I like to give everybody a chance to kind of give some closing remarks. Anything you want to say, whether it's words of wisdom or maybe kind of something you think about the Browns, going forward, it's up to you, whatever you want to leave everybody with.
A couple things. One, I think with the new uniforms that are coming out, I know we didn't discuss them, but that's okay. I think it's going to come out on April 6th, day after the new building, the Browns. We were established in 46, and I think April 6th, the number 4 and 6, I think that's kind of a good thing. And I've been hearing a lot of strong rumors about how they are, and they're actually going to be, the way the Browns should be instead of the current look.
It's supposed to be pretty traditional, right, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, go back to the traditional aspect and everything. So, and then lastly, just as all us all Browns fans, I never want to say this again. Hopefully this is our year and we don't have to say there's always next year. So just have hope, Browns fans. We stay strong. That's all I can say.
Well, if there's one thing that's true about Browns fans, it's they are strong. I can tell you that much. A lot of great Browns fans out there. And I thank you for coming on, Nick, and talking with us for a while. It's been a good time. I did not give out your Twitter handle, so why don't you go ahead and give that so people can give you a follow?
One second. I got to pull it up. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
I tell you what, I'll give it for you. I've got it written down here. So it's at Nicholas_Walters, and that's Nicholas with a K.
Yep, no C. Just Nicolas.
So give Nick a follow. And
I appreciate you having me. It was definitely fun talking about the Browns. Finally got, somebody that likes to talk about it outside of family and people in my office. So it's definitely great.
It was a good time. Good talking to you. All right.
Yeah, most definitely.
This has been the Browns Blitz. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.